All right, I want you to take the Word of God, please. Turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. We've been proceeding in our progress on building a family of faith. And we have concluded, Lord willing, with the marriage relationship. Now we're going to be shifting our focus to the parent-child relationship. After this, Lord willing, we'll be dealing with the family church relationship. And then after that, we're going to be talking about how the devil attacks your home, how you can live in victory over that. That's where I talk about finances. It's where I talk about a number of things that maybe you're interested in me getting to. So I encourage you as we proceed here that you allow the Lord to speak to your heart. Now, just in case your children are already grown and gone, that'd be a great title of a book, wouldn't it? Grown and gone, you know. Don't tune me out because God willing, one day you might be a grandparent. You might already be a grandparent. In other words, learn to apply the Word of God in where it's preached to where you are. So I encourage you with this as we read one verse of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14. The Word of God says, "Behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours but you." Now here's what I want to draw your attention to. "For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." Now again it says, "The children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." Now I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, establishing a spiritual savings account. Establishing a spiritual savings account. Now I want to pray with you, and then we'll share this thought with you. Our Father, we love you tonight, and I pray as we proceed through this Building Families of Faith series, I ask that you touch it, I ask that you bless it, continue to touch it, continue to bless it, breathe upon it, use it. Thank you for those we've seen saved already. We ask that you'll help them to grow up in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And help me tonight to be filled with the power of your Spirit. Help me, Lord God, to be a help to these dear people. And I pray that you help us as we try to reach these people and reach our world. Guide us, I pray. Defeat Satan, his evil spirits. Do your will in Jesus' name. And Lord, forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel in Jesus' name. Amen. Now again, in our progress of building a family of faith, we've already considered the marriage relationship. Now there's three major points I'm trying to get you to see, and there's several sermons underneath these points. We've looked, first of all, at the foundation of a family of faith. Now we're under the formation of the family of faith, and the third thing we will look at is the foe of the family of faith. Now we've looked at the foundation, the formation. Under that, we've noticed the different relationships that's involved in a family of faith. We've already considered the marriage. Now we are looking at the parent-child relationship that helps make up the formation of the family. Now, as we consider this, we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we see Paul is addressing the church at Corinth. Now, we know that Paul is the spiritual father of these people, and I understand that by interpreting this literally, he's talking about a spiritual father with his spiritual children. But in context, I want to say something to you. Even though he's speaking of his relationship spiritually to them, we can take the same thought and apply it to a family of faith. The children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. In other words, the parents should make provision for their kids. They should lay things up that will help take care of their children. Now, no doubt there are people who are laying up many things. There are people who are laying up money for their kids. There are people who are laying up houses for their kids, laying up cars and land for their children. But may I say this to you, that there's some things that's so much more important to lay up for your children than physical, materialistic things. Now, there's nothing wrong with laying up money and making sure that your child's taken care of. I'm not bashing those things. Matter of fact, those things in the right place can be very good. But I want to preach to you tonight on three things to put into a spiritual savings account for your kids. Now, if you have children, apply it to yourself. If you have grandchildren, apply it to them. Because no doubt, I'm probably talking to some grandparents who have
some of their grandparents' children, whether it's their own children or an in-law, who is not the parent that they ought to be. And I'm going to tell you something. You ought to make sure that every time your grandchildren are with you, that they get the right thing when they're at your house. Amen. And what I'm saying to you is apply this wherever you are. Now, there's three things I want to give you tonight on establishing a spiritual savings account. Three things to put up for your kids that'll help them in the cause of Jesus Christ. Number one, you ought to put into that savings account a good name. You ought to put into it a good name. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:1, says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Ecclesiastes 7:1, a good name is better than precious ointment. Now in these verses, we see how we should be more concerned with leaving behind a good name rather than a great estate. Now you ought to be more concerned about your testimony than your money. Now what I'm saying to you is here, that our children should not have a strike against them because they carry our name. Now you know I'm telling you the truth, don't you? You know, I wonder tonight when people hear your name, what do they think? More importantly, when God hears your name, what does He think? Now, I want to show you an interesting verse. I want you to flip to John chapter 14 with me. Look at John chapter 14 and look at verse number 20 and following. Look at John chapter 14, verse 20 and following. John chapter 14, talking about a good name. You ought to lay up for your children a good name. John chapter 14, verse 20. And that at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now notice verse 22 closely. Judas saith unto him, comma, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? By the way, is every word of the word of God inspired? Yes or no? Sure it is. Is it infallible? Yes or no? You say, I don't even know what that means, but just shake your head yes. It is infallible. And what I'm saying to you is this. The Holy Spirit breathed these words, and He said, when you put the name Judas, you make sure and mention it's not Iscariot. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Your name is vitally important. There is power one way or another in your name. There's power in it. And we as parents or grandparents, apply it wherever you, or potential parents, should make sure that we leave behind, if God takes us home tonight, make sure that you have left behind a good name. A good name. We should stay pure and right before God ourselves. And what I mean by that is one of the greatest things you can give your child is a mom or a dad who is in love with God and who is right with God. If you're not right with God, your child has two strikes against them already. We are very, very selfish beings. By the way, you'll hear more about this, God willing, on Sunday morning. But we are very, very selfish if we do not live right ourselves because somebody is following in our footsteps. We ought to leave behind a good name. In a mother's meeting, there was a discussion on a theme on how early to in a child's life should one begin to influence him towards God. In other words, this discussion in this women's meeting was how early should you start in your child's life to influence them for God. There was a grandmother in that audience, and they kind of put her on the spot according to this story right here, and they asked her how early should a person begin influencing their child, and here's what she said, and I quote, she said, I began with my first child 20 years before she was born by giving myself to Jesus Christ. Now you can't improve on that answer. That's what I mean by a good name. I'm saying make sure that when your name comes up, it's purity. And people say, I'll tell you one thing about him or one thing about her. She's the real deal. He's the real deal. Do people say that about you? If they don't, you're condemning your children. You're not helping them. First thing you ought to lay up in establishing a spiritual savings account. The children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents should lay up for the children. What are you going to lay up? A good name. Number two, you ought to lay up a godly heritage. The Bible tells us in Psalm 16:6, yea, I have a goodly heritage. I wonder, can your kids say this? You know, we should determine to lay up a godly heritage for our children. Now, there are several things that should summarize you as a parent in order to lay up a godly heritage. In other words, if you're truly going to lay up a godly heritage, there's certain things that's going to have to be true about you. In other words, it's impossible to lay behind and leave behind a godly heritage if these things are not true in your life. Let me give you a fairly long list here. Number one, under this godly heritage, you must be saved. Now, I realize I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak, on Wednesday night. But I'm going to say this again because I do not want to be a preacher who ever overlooks the main thing. And the main thing is the main thing, and that's your salvation. Do you really know for sure that heaven is your home? If I'm talking to anybody tonight and there's a doubt in your mind, there is a doubt in your mind that heaven's your home, you cannot leave a godly heritage for your child. How can you? How would it be possible for you to leave behind a godly heritage and you don't even know if you're going to heaven when you die or not? And let me say this to you. The greatest knowledge in all the world is knowing the Lord. No doubt about that. And here's one of the great mysteries to me. In the Word of God, Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 7, God, who is omniscient, which means He's all-knowing, He knows all things, yet He's going to look at so many people and say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." The all-knowing God does not know some people. You know what I'm glad of tonight? I'm glad I know Him, but more importantly, I'm glad He knows me. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'm not perfect and I'm not a perfect daddy, and I know that I'm far from it. I've got a lot of work. But I'm glad the first thing I pass the test, I'm a born again child of God. You cannot leave behind a godly heritage and not know you're saved. You must be saved. Number two, you must be a praying parent. Now, tonight I'm just kind of summarizing some things, but I'm going to ask you a question, parent. Do you pray? I'm not asking, do you pray 5 minutes? I'm asking, do you pray? Do you really get along with God? Do you really beg God for things and beg God for your children and ask Him to touch them physically and help them? I am begging God, I'm pleading with God that God will make Judson and Jalen a soul winner. He's already saved Judson, praise His holy name. We're working with him and he's growing up a little bit. He wanted to preach for the first time in the home just a little while ago. That thrills my heart. That really does. And what I'm saying to you is this. Obviously, he's not saved Jalen yet. And it is obvious, trust me. She's under 2 years of age. And I'm praying that the earliest possible age that she'll give her heart to Jesus Christ. And I'm praying that God will make mighty soul winners out of both of our kids. And I'm praying that God calls both of them into the ministry. Now, that's up to him. And if he calls them to do it, whatever God wants them to do, I will tip my hat and say, "Son, do you know God wants you to do this?" "Yes, sir, this is what God wants." Then I will back him 100%. But there's nothing wrong with praying God get a hold of his heart, call him to preach. Nothing wrong with that. I'm asking God to call him to preach. I'm not asking him to call my daughter to preach, but I'm asking him to call my son to preach. And what I'm saying is this, how's that going to happen? Well, God has to work in their life. But I'm going to tell you another way it's going to happen is his mom and daddy have to get on their knees and beg God to work in their life. You love your children? That's a dumb question, isn't it? My question is this, are you proving it in the prayer closet? I'm cut. How much time in prayer do you spend for your kids? How long has it been since you labored with God in the prayer closet and begged God to bless your children? Take care of your children. Keep them healthy. Keep them safe. Keep them pure. You know what my wife and I are praying already for our kids? God, Judson, touch his wife. Don't know who she is. She may not even be born yet. But I pray you touch her. Keep her pure. Bring them together in his time. Praying the same thing for Jalen. Is there anything wrong with that? I don't think so. And what I'm saying to you, I am far from the praying parent that I need to be. I'm not trying to lift myself up. I'm trying to say this. I need to do a whole lot more than I'm doing. And I would say if you'd be an honest parent with yourself, you'd say the same thing. By the way, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 10 and 27, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, we see Hannah was a praying mother.
God gave her Samuel. And what a mighty servant of God he was. Our children should have a mom and dad who know how to pray and get a hold of God. This is all under a godly heritage. You must be saved. You must be a praying parent. Number three, you must be a parent of the Bible. You know, our children, as a matter of fact, if you want to find your place in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'll meet you there in just a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 6. But let me say this under this point right here. Our children should have a mom and dad who read God's Word and read God's Word to them. Now, let me say it again. Your children, if you're going to truly lay up a godly heritage for them, I'm talking about a godly heritage, not a worldly heritage, a godly heritage, it's going to take work. You've got to make sure you're saved. That's not work, that's grace. But from here on out, you've got to make sure you're a praying parent, got to make sure you're a parent that spends time in the Word of God. How can you live a godly life and how can you influence your children for God if you're not reading the Bible every day of your life? Now, I want to ask you a question. This is between you and God. I'm not asking you to stand up and say yes or raise your hand. This is a silent question between you and the Lord. But is there a time every day of your life when you are getting along with God and getting into this blessed book? If you're sitting there right now and you say, no, I'm not doing that, you're a very selfish person. Especially if you have children. Because you're condemning them. Because this is your food. This is your meat. This is your water. This is your air. This is your life. You must be feasting on the Word of God daily to give your child a godly heritage. Are you reading it every day? And on top of that, you ought to be reading it to them every day. You ought to read it yourself and gather your family and read it to them. You ought to be having family devotions. I'm counseling. Through this Building Families of Faith, it's a different style for me. I'm counseling through this. And what I'm saying to you is, are you a parent of the book? You say, well, I'm just so busy. Well, then you're too busy. By the way, you make time for what you want to do. You do. Somebody says, well, I'm just so busy. Did you watch any television the same day that you said that about God's Word? Did you eat the same day that you said that about God's Word? Because what did Jeremiah say? He said, I esteem His words more than my necessary food. You ought to be more interested in reading this book than eating a steak. You know I'm right. Would you rather sit down and read some of this book or would you rather sit down to a steak dinner? Somebody says, I don't even like steak. Well, then just apply it to whatever food you like then. What am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying you cannot be establishing a spiritual savings account for your child if you are not a mom and dad or grandma and granddad of the Bible. You can't do it. Or you're reading it every day or you're reading it as a family. Here's an interesting stat. I've already told you that over 50% of marriages, including Christian marriages, end in divorce. But you realize that families who read the Bible together, it's one out of 1,015 that get a divorce? That's interesting, isn't it? Let me tell you why. Because this book, and if they really want what God wants, He's the answer, and He'll take care of whatever you're dealing with. You've got to read the Bible. The Word of God must be paramount in your home. How important is this book? How important is it? Is this book paramount in your home? Is it paramount in your life? Will you make sure that there will not be a day that goes by that you do not read something in the Word of God? You ought to make that commitment tonight. I don't care if it's one verse, two verses, two chapters, or 20 chapters. There ought never to be a day that goes by that you do not spend time every day in the Word of God. Every day. Unless something happens. You get knocked out for 24 hours, don't even know you're in the world. I'm saying this. The Christian life is not an easy life. I'm not saying that. But people make it harder than it is. And what I mean by that is this. Stay faithful to this book. Ask God to help you live by this book. And He'll bless your life, bless your marriage, bless your children. I'm not saying things are going to be perfect, but you'll have Him to help you through the situations in life. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, you're right there at it, I hope, Deuteronomy chapter 6,
verses 6 and 7. The word of God says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." We're looking at a godly heritage. Under that, you cannot leave a godly heritage without being saved. You cannot leave a godly heritage without being a praying parent. You cannot leave a godly heritage without being a parent of the Bible. You cannot leave a godly heritage and not be separated. You can't. The Bible says in Leviticus 20, verse 7, it says, "Sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." 1 Peter 1:16, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." You know who kids should have? Kids should have a mom and dad who live a godly, separated, holy life with do's and don'ts in the home. There ought to be some do's in your home, and there ought to be some don'ts. And your do's and don'ts should line up with this book. Amen. Now, by the way, how do you become separated? See, there's so much negative talk about separated living. There's so much negative talk in churches today about well, you can't do anything at that church. That they're bondage out at that church. Good night. I mean, they try to tell you how to live out at that church and all this kind. And by the way, that's not going to change. You come here, we're going to tell you, you need to stay out of the hell holes of the world. You come here, we're going to tell you there's a certain way you ought to look, you ought to smell, you ought to dress, you ought to act. Why? Because a God's child is different than a child of the devil. And by the way, the way that somebody becomes a separated Christian is they feast on this book. And as they get close to Jesus Christ, he takes them further and further and further away from the world. So anybody that you ever hear that says, "I'm not coming to your church because that's a cult out there. They tell you how to live, how not, what to do, what not to do." I'm telling you one thing, that's bondage. That person's just told on themselves. They're either not saved or they're not walking with God. Because we do not preach, "Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not." What we do is say, "Thou shalt get close to him." And as you, the closer you get to him, the further you'll be away from that garbage back there. See, true biblical separation is not just from the world. That's where the world tries to place it. I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't do that. Wait a minute, I haven't told you one thing you can't do. You see how that works? I can make the statement, there's a certain way you ought to act, and somebody would run with it and say, "He told me I can't go there." I never said that. I'm simply saying this, there's too much emphasis placed on, "I can't do that," instead of enough emphasis being placed on, "Boy, he's such a great Savior. Wouldn't you like to fellowship with him, walk with him, talk with him, commune with him, get close to God?" Because separation, biblical separation, is from the world unto the Lord. Do you see that? Don't get caught up, "I can't do that." Wait a minute. Get your eyes off of that and look to him, because when you compare that to him, there's no comparison. How do you compare Jesus Christ to the world? I mean, all that stuff, that's bondage. He's true liberty, because the truth shall make you free. And I'm saying that, listen, if you really want, I mean, honestly, if you really want to establish a spiritual savings account, I mean, you really want your children to have something for God, then you will try to live like a Christian. You know it's the truth. From the music you listen to the TV that you allow in your home, now I'm not going to dwell on these because I'm going to hit these later on in the series, to the language you use, to the actions you take, parents should live a godly life. If you're a Christian, live like it. Talk like it. Watch what a Christian ought to watch. Go where a Christian ought to go. Why? Because you're trying to leave a spiritual bank account, savings account for those who are coming behind in your footsteps. James 4:4 says, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Children will listen to your life more than they'll listen to your lips. Let me say it again. They'll listen to your life a whole lot more than they listen to your lips. And all I'm saying to you, this is really a progression. And what I mean by that is, if you're saved and you're praying and you're reading the Bible and you want God's blessing in your life, you'll have no problem trying to live like a Christian. Then number five, whatever we're on, church. This is all under a godly heritage. Now, I'm just going to hit this and go on because I'm going to hit this later, but children should have a mom and dad who set the example of being in the church every time the doors open. Every time. Now, I commend you because you're here on a Wednesday night. So I'm trying to encourage you. What you're doing is the right thing. Hebrews 10:25, you can read it for yourself because I'm running out of time. But you realize that 48% of churchgoers attend an average of once a month. 48% who go to church anywhere, on average, attend one service a month. The percentage of mothers, now listen to this, the percentage of mothers who said they wanted their children to develop a loyalty to the church, in 1924 it was 50%. In 1978 it was 22%, and who knows what it is today. I wonder, are you faithful attending church? You need to be. And by the way, it needs to be a God-fearing, Christ-honoring, Bible-preaching church. Whether it's this one or another one, it needs to be one who's going to teach you the Word of God. Then the godly heritage. Under this again, number six is love. Now I realize that I'm giving you a lot of information. And I realize that you're not going to go home and say, boy, wasn't point six under major point number two great. I understand that, but I'm just trying to give you some material to help you. Love. Your children ought to have a parent and parents who love the Lord. By the way, how do you love Him? You got to get to know Him, don't you? How do you get to know Him? You spend time with Him. It all goes back to your devotional walk. All goes back to your foundation. Mark 12:30 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. We need moms and dads who are in love with Jesus Christ. You know, we have too many moms and dads today who are in love with so many things. Hollywood, whatever, you name it. What we need is a fresh dose of love for Jesus. You know I'm telling you the truth, don't you? And that means we're going to have to spend more time with Him. Because the more time you spend with Him, the more you want to be with Him. And the more you see Him, the more you want to see Him. It's kind of like when you were dating. Some of you can't even remember this, probably. When you were dating, you wanted to be with her, didn't you, man? You wanted to be with her. You studied her every move. You made sure that what you got her was exactly what she wanted. And then you got married, and who knows what happened then. But by the way, that's a mistake. We're all guilty of it, but that should never stop. Now, I'm guilty of that. And my wife's in the balcony. She can vouch for that. I'm guilty of it. But that is something that we should never stop doing, and that is studying our wives. By the way, we'll never figure them out anyway. It takes us a lifetime anyway, right? We need moms and dads who love the Lord. And you get to love Him the same way you got to love your spouse. You spend time with Him. Secondly, you ought to love each other. Not just your spouse, but the brethren. Moms and dads ought to be people that do not allow critical talk about the church and the pastor and the leadership in their home. You can read this in John 15:9-12 if you'd like to jot that down. The next point under this is all under establishing a spiritual savings account, and major point number two is a godly heritage. The next point is loyalty to the pastor. Now, you understand, by the way, when I put this message together, I was not the pastor. Now I am, and it's not easy to preach this, but you understand because I'm the pastor, but please don't misunderstand what I'm saying to you. I'm not preaching this because I'm the pastor. I'm preaching this because it's in the Bible. And if it's in the Bible, it's the best for your family. Children need a mom and dad who refuse to criticize the man of God. We need more of that. Now, God willing, we don't need more of that here, I hope. But I'm saying we. I'm talking about America. There's too many loose tongues around this country. There's too many people who are not intimidated to speak out against God's man. And let me say this to you. Unless it is doctrinal or moral, people who speak out against the leadership, unless it's doctrinal or moral, they are not right with God. It's impossible. I don't care who it is. I don't care what position they have. I don't care what their name is. Whoever runs their mouth on God-called leadership and does not have a biblical precedence, they are not right with God. And I'm telling you, what we need is we need parents. Your children need parents who say, I'm going to tell you one thing, if anything is said negative, it will not be tolerated in this home. Let me tell you one reason why. If you allow critical terminology to go through your home about this pastor or pastor emeritus or whatever, you might as well leave this church, because your children will not have one thing to do with what I tell them. They will not listen. They will not listen to me. If you criticize the pastor, you're condemning your children, because they do not respect who their mom and daddy does not respect. Amen. Now that's the truth. And that needs to be preached more than it is around America and around the world. Hebrews 13, 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, so they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now let me pause and say this. Does that mean I'm going to be perfect in everything I do? Don't be afraid. Some of you already know, if you're a leader, I'm not perfect. And God helping me, if He shows me I'm wrong, I'll correct it. God helping me. But I want you to know something. I love you, and I love your family, and I'm trying to spend time every day with God. And the decisions that I make here, I am trying to make them in accordance to the will of God. Will I miss it every now and then? Yes. Yes. But even when I miss it, unless it's moral or doctrinal, your duty before God, because remember, God has a will in everything, your duty before God is you will submit, even when you don't agree, not because you like me or even love me. I hope you do both. But because you want to be right with God and say, I don't understand this, but I will submit because that's what God has told me to do. Are you with me? Good. The last thing under this godly heritage, is soul winning. This is all under godly heritage. Children should have a mom and dad who share their faith with a lost and dying world. By the way, this starts in the home. As a matter of fact, if you'll turn with me just a moment to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter number 12. And look at verses 26 and 27. Exodus chapter 12, verses 26 and 27. The Bible says, and it came to pass, and it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when He smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped. Now the point I'm trying to get across to you is this. Your children should have a mom and dad who tell them about Jesus. You ought to be the one to tell them about the Lord. Can I say this to you? This church will tell your children about the Lord. That's what this church is in existence for. It's not in existence to take your place as the parent. This church does not take your place. This church supports you. Your children should learn more about the Lord at home than they do here. You understand that? What I'm saying to you is that you ought to be the one to tell your children about the Lord. You ought to do that. And then your children should see you, and you ought to make it a point that they see you to come to church-wide soul winning whenever it's called, if you can get here, to take some gospel tracks out of the track rack. I'm not saying show it to them. Say, look what Daddy's doing. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying be a show-off. But it'd be a good thing for your children to see you out telling somebody else about the Lord. Judson just told Becky recently, I think it was this week. I can't remember the exact details, Becky. You can correct me on this later, but anyway, you know the basic gist, you'll get it. He said something like, I don't want to see all these people die and go to hell. I don't want to see all these people die and go to hell. I'm going to say something. That's good news to me. And one thing I'm trying to do with Judson is I'm taking him out visiting with me. He's going soul winning with his daddy. And he's getting to the point. He's getting to the point that as soon as I say we're going visiting, he'll go, woohoo, we're going visiting. Now, I think he does that because he knows I'll probably take him out to get a Big Mac or something afterwards. Not just him either, you know. Maybe not a Big Mac. What am I doing? I'm trying to show my son that there's something more important than living for himself. They ought to have soul-winning parents. Let me ask you a question. Do your children have a soul-winning mom and daddy? Are you trying to share your faith with other people? If not, that's not a godly heritage. May the Lord help us with it. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The bottom line under this second major point is that children should learn, like I've already said, more about being a Christian from being at home with their parents than anywhere else in the world. They ought to learn more about what it means to be a Christian at home than when they come to this church. And that way, when they come to this church, they will hear the same thing, God willing, that they're hearing from you at home. And what this church does is not take your place. This church backs you up and puts an exclamation point on what you've been driving home all week. You see what I'm saying? By the way, your children are being bombarded with so many things. And you're going to have to combat that. And that's your responsibility as a parent. Then major point number three. Looking at establishing a spiritual savings account. What should you put in that savings account? Well, number one, a good name. Make sure you're right with God. Number two, a godly heritage. And under that, you cannot leave a godly heritage without being a saved person, a praying parent, a parent of the Bible, a separated parent, a parent who's faithful to church, one who loves God and loves each other, one who's loyal to the leadership of the church, and one who tries to share his faith. Now, that's a lot of points, I know that. And then major point number three, you ought to lay up in a spiritual savings account, you ought to lay up a giving spirit. A giving spirit. The Bible says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given. Acts 20:35, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Kids should have laid up for them a giving spirit that they learn from their mom and dad. Now, you know that how children come up sometimes. I'm talking about the greatest of children, the greatest of kids. It's give me, 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 give me. You see it at Christmas time. You see it at birthday time. You see it whenever you bring a gift home to them, and then the next day they're like, can I go get some more? Now maybe you've never dealt with that, but you know I'm telling you the truth, right? How are they going to learn that it's more blessed to give than to receive? Are they going to get it from the TV? No. But they ought to get it from you. You ought to set the precedence that we're going to give around our place. From yourself. Now, again, some of these things, I'm just tapping them because I'm going to go into detail later in this series. But from yourself, 2 Corinthians 8:5, to your tithe, to your offerings, to your faith promise, to your time, to your energy, you name it, you ought to have a giving spirit. Children are selfish by nature. Am I right or wrong? Children are selfish. So were you. So are we. We're selfish by nature. And they must be taught to give. Now I'm coming to a close here. But there was a girl one time, she asked her daddy, she said, Daddy, is God dead? And this was as her daddy was tucking her into bed with a good night kiss. He said, no, dear. He said, why do you ask? And she said, well, because I never hear you talking to him anymore. And I wonder, if your children depended upon your home for all their religious instruction, if there was no church to bring them to, would they grow up to be pagans? Or would they grow up to be Christians who love God and obey Him? What are the greatest gifts that you can give your family? Is it a secure home? No. Is it a regular income? Now, all those things are good, don't get me wrong, but that's not the greatest thing. Is it a house that's paid for, insurance policies, retirement plans? Or are the greatest gifts you can give your children faith in God and hope and love and salvation in Jesus Christ. What can you do to help give your children these things? What can you do to help make Christ the center of your home? And I wonder tonight, does God have a large upper room in your home? Or does He have a lowly place because there's no room in your inn? How's your home tonight? How much do your children or grandchildren have in their spiritual savings account? If the only things your kids know about Jesus is what they've learned from you, how much do they know about Him? This is serious business. Would you agree with that? And it's time that we, whether we have children, whether we're prospective parents, whether you're grandparents, apply it wherever you're at. It's time that we all stop looking that way. I've said this time and time again, but I'm sick of it. I'm sick of people doing this and that and that and that and that and not saying, it's me. It's me. What can I do? What's wrong with me? God help me to be right. I think God is sick of people just looking at other people and saying, well, it's his fault, it's her fault, it's her fault, it's his fault. Wait a minute. What can I do to make this better? Is there anything wrong about me? Then if there's not, what can I do to help this person? What can I do to challenge this person? Let's get to do business with God ourselves. Have you established a spiritual savings account? If you haven't, you can start tonight. You can open up that account tonight. Doesn't matter what your credit looks like. You can open it up tonight and start putting stuff in it. And I trust you'll do it. Let's bow our heads together, please, and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, I pray that you'll bless. This is a simple thought, just a simple, simple thought. But yet, Lord, it can be life-changing that we as parents can see the importance of us literally putting things in an account that our children can draw from while the ages roll. Help us to see the importance of this and help people to do business with God. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly as soon as they get prepared. I want to ask you some questions. Would you let me do that? Under a godly heritage, there's no way that you can leave a godly heritage behind if, number one, we've already went over it, unless you're saved and you know it. Do you know for sure that there's been a time in your life when you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? You're not trusting your baptism. You're not trusting your good works. You're not trusting your church membership, but you're trusting Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Do you know there's been a time when you've done that? If you haven't, there's good news for you. The Lord loves you. He died for you. And He says, whosoever will may come. Is there one tonight you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm here tonight, but God knows if I drop dead or if He came back, I do not have assurance in my heart that heaven's my home. Now, before I ask you to do this, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to come to your seat, not going to embarrass you. I will not do that. I just need to know if there's one like that here. Is there somebody like that? You say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? You say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure. If you'll just raise your hand, put it right back down. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. Then let me ask you this. Have you today say, Jody, this message on establishing a spiritual savings account, God is speaking to me. Now, you might be a parent with a child still in the home, or you might be a parent with a child that's grown and gone, or you might be a grandparent now, but God is speaking to you. And it may not be a bad thing. It could be that you're trying to do this and He's just encouraging you. Keep doing that. Keep doing that. Keep doing that. Have you say, Jody, God is speaking to me.
I believe he's speaking to me. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. May God help you. May the Lord help you with this. I want to ask you this question. How many of you say, Jody, we do not have family devotions in our home. We do not have those. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? You say you do not have family devotions. Just be honest. That's all I'm asking. Be honest. Thank you. Hope you understand that you need to start that. Start it. May the Lord help you with it. May the Lord help you. As she's playing through, if God is speaking to you, or maybe you say, Jody, I'm not having family devotions, or God is speaking to you in some way, positive, negative, and you feel led to grab your family and bring them to this altar, why don't you do that now? Why don't you do that now? Why don't you say, this is what I believe God would have me to do. If you feel like the Lord would have you come to this altar and pray, whether it be as an individual or as a family, why don't you do it right now, right now, right now? Why don't you leave your place and come? Would you do it? Would you do it? So I believe God would have me to do this. I want to ask you one final question. Have you say, Jody, I am not reading the Bible every day. Now, by the way, don't beat yourself up over this. If you say, Jody, I'm not reading it every day. As an individual, I'm not talking about family devotions, I'm talking about as a person. If you say, Jody, I'm not reading the Bible every day, would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? Yes? Yes? Thank you for being honest. Why don't you make that commitment tonight? Why don't you make it tonight? Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take it and use it in a mighty way. Help people to respond if you want them to respond. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place? Would you come? Would you ask the Lord to help you right now, right now, right now? As we sing this first verse together, would you leave your place? Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Amen. As she plays, just one final thing. I'll continue with this thought. I'm talking about what I'm getting ready to ask you on Sunday morning. Because we'll be with the parent-child relationship for several more services here. Wouldn't you like to see your children and or your grandchildren, when they're your age, in a church like you're in tonight? Wouldn't you like to see that? One way you do it, and one way you help with it. Now, you can't force it, you understand. But one way you help with it is you stay right with God yourself. You see what I'm saying? You'll hear a lot more about this Sunday morning. But I trust the Lord will help through this. Our children are precious, aren't they? And we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to give them things that they can draw from for all eternity. May the Lord help us with it. Amen. God help you. No doubt about it. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss all the bus workers at this time. If you'd make your way to the chapel, try to bring somebody with you Sunday. Would you do that? Remind people of the family series. Have y'all know couples who have children in the home? They're still in the home. And as far as you know, they're not in church. Would you raise your hand? I'm talking about they're in the area. They have children in the home. As far as you know, they're not in church. Try to get them here for this.
They may come hear messages that they know is going to be on their children when they may not come for anything else. Okay? Try to get them here. Take advantage of this. This will be a good thing. All right? Very good. I'm going to ask Brother Steve McNeely, sir, if you don't mind to lift your voice and pray for us, sir, please.